بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have with us today hadith number 28, I presume. And who will read it for us, please? Yes, brother.
Narrated Anas ibn Malik, a Bedouin came and passed urine in one corner of the masjid. The people shouted at him, but the Prophet stopped them until he finished urinating. The Prophet ordered them to pour a bucket of water over that place, and they did so.
In this hadith, the relation between it and the Book of Purity is how to deal with an impurity, with an ajasa, if it's on the ground. Now, this hadith has a longer version, and it's an authentic hadith. This Bedouin was so ignorant that he did not know the etiquettes of Islam, what is permissible and what is not permissible. In the Sunan, this man, the Bedouin, prayed with the Prophet ﷺ, a particular prayer. And during the prayer, while he's with the Prophet in prayer with the companions, he said, "Oh Allah," in a loud voice, so everybody heard it. He said, "Oh Allah, forgive Muhammad and me, and don't forgive anyone else. Forgive for Muhammad and myself, and do not forgive the sins of anyone else." After the Prophet finished the prayer, he brought the man and he said, "My friend, my brother, you have made a very wide thing so narrow and limited. Allah's mercy is much, much bigger than only to occupy myself and you." After a while, the man went into a corner of the masjid, uplift his skirt or his apron or his lower garment, and started to urinate. The companions, may Allah be pleased with them, saw him. He started shouting and screaming and wanted to attack the man. The Prophet ﷺ, with his wisdom, with his mercy, he knew that the harm has been already done. The man started urinating, so the harm is done. And he measured the pros and the cons. So the pros were to stop him. The cons, however, if the companions pursued him and attacked him or shouted at him, he would be frightened. And instead of the impurity be restricted in one area, the man will be frightened and maybe run away. He will put urine on his clothes, on his body, and elsewhere in the masjid while running. So what is the best? The best is wait for him until he finishes. Don't frighten him so that you would not harm him physically if he has to cut himself from or stop himself from urinating. After he was over, the Prophet called him and he said, "My son or my brother, these masjids are not made for such filth or for such impurities. They are made for prayer, reciting the Quran, and making dhikr of Allah." And then he instructed his companions to bring a bucket of water and to pour it over the place or the spot where the urine was. He did not instruct him to dig it. He did not instruct him to isolate it. Very simple. Just pour a bucket of water. The water would mix with the urine. It would go down the earth and the place would come pure. Alhamdulillah. So from this hadith, the scholars have said and concluded that we must remove the impurity in order for the spot to be clean. And therefore they said, if the entity itself of the impurity has been removed, then the spot is being cleaned, whether intentionally or not intentionally. And this is one of the only things in Islam that you do not need intention for. You do not need niyyah. Wudu, do we need niyyah? Yes or no? Yes, we do need intention or niyyah for wudu. If you don't have intention, you just automatically do it, and after you finish, you remember, "I didn't want to do wudu." This wudu is invalid. But removing an impurity does not need a niyyah. For example, I have a stain of impurity on my clothes, and I have it on my bed. My mother comes unknowingly, and she washes it, not knowing that there is a najasa. She washes it normally. She brings that piece of cloth, that shirt, cleaned and ironed. There is no trace for an impurity. So, can I wear it? Yes. I did not intend it. Scholar says, no need. Even if I have a shirt with najasa hanging on the porch and it rains and it cleans it without me intending it, it's okay. You don't need to have an intention for that. Therefore, the minute the entity itself of the impurity is gone, the place is pure. And whether it's gone by sun, by wind, by any other fluid coming and cleaning it, it is okay as long as it has gone. And this is what happened with that Bedouin. Now, we have to look deeper into this hadith. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the most merciful messenger with his people. The man did something extremely rude and inappropriate. But how was the reaction of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Now let us look at our reaction to other Muslims when they make mistakes. I know people, when they see other Muslims making mistakes, they fry them. They almost fry them and eat them alive. Why? Yes, he made a mistake. I have to make an example out of him. This is not the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If someone does a mistake, we have to be like the doctor. What would the doctor do? If you are examining a patient and the patient starts to scream because of the pain, if you smack him in the face, are you a good doctor? This is his nature. He is the patient and you're the doctor. You're the one who's supposed to be tolerant and taking it easy and trying to make things better for him. And likewise, a da'i, and likewise a scholar, and likewise a teacher, always have to be with the upper hand, taking care of his students, taking care of his followers, and giving them the mercy they need. And definitely, we have to apply this hadith in all aspects of our lives. It is not enough to know this is halal or this is haram. You have to measure the consequences and see the advantages and the disadvantages. And if the advantages are less, while the disadvantages are more, you have to stop. And I give you an example. One of the examples, what is the ruling on changing al-munkar, changing vice and bad things? It is wajib. Isn't that so? But sometimes it becomes forbidden. When the consequences are far worse, when the disadvantages are more, it is haram. For example, a man is drinking whiskey and he's completely wasted. He is drunk. You can tell by his eyes he's drunk. And he's very angry and he has a gun loaded in his hand. And you know that he's a Muslim. So you say, I'm going to go to him and tell him this is haram, you're making a major sin, and you should stop. If I go and tell him this, I know that he's going to put a bullet between my eyes. So should I go and continue? Scholars say, no, definitely if you go and continue, you are sinful. Why? Because the disadvantages are far than the advantages. And this is what the Prophet did with the Bedouin alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise, someone is extremely sick and ill and he has to take his medication, but he insists that he wants to fast Ramadan. And doctors say, if you fast today, you will die. And he insists and fast. What do we say? Is he sinful? He is sinful. He has made a sin by killing himself while he should have not fasted because Allah gave him the permission. And if we cascade this throughout all of our life, we will be able to give the right judgment in the right time, at the right place. The following hadith, hadith number 29, who will read that for us? Yes, brother.
Abu Huraira reported, five are the acts of fitrah: circumcision, shaving the pubic hairs, cutting the mustache, clipping the nails, and plucking the armpit hair.
Okay, this hadith was narrated by Abu Huraira and reported in Sahih Imam Muslim and elsewhere. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is indicating to us some of the things that are considered to be part of the fitrah. What is fitrah? Nature. What is nature? There are two aspects of fitrah mentioned in the Quran. The first and foremost important part is the fitrah, which is monotheism, at-tawheed. Fitratullah allati fatara an-nasa alayha. This is the fitrah that Allah created people on. What is that? The Prophet tells us that whenever a child is born, he is born on the fitrah, meaning he's born on Islam. How do you know he's born into Islam? Meaning that if he were to be left alone from all other conditions, he would grow up to believe in the oneness of Allah. Of course, he would not know how to pray. He would not know how to fast. He would not know how to give zakat or make pilgrimage. But the fitrah that Allah is speaking about in the Quran is the monotheism that he created people on. We have a break, so stay tuned, inshallah. We'll be right back.